philosopher, and his name was Unamuno. Unamuno tells about a Roman aqueduct at Segovia, which is his native Spain. This aqueduct was built in 109 AD, and for 1800 years, this aqueduct carried cool water from the mountain to the hot and thirsty city. For nearly 60 generations, men drank from its flow. Then came another generation, a recent one, who said, "This aqueduct is so great a marvel that it ought to be preserved for our children as a museum piece. We shall relieve it of its centuries-long labor." And they did. They laid modern iron pipes. They gave the ancient bricks and mortar a reverent rest. As they did so, the aqueduct began to fall apart. The sun beating on the dry mortar caused it to crumble. The bricks and the stone sagged and threatened to fall. What ages of service could not destroy, idleness disintegrated. Tonight I want to talk to you about the opportunity that we have to be in the service of the King. I've shared with you before this quote. I want to share it again. It's one that I remember finding some time ago back in college. It's one I've always kind of had in the forefront. I've written in the front of several of my Bibles. It says, "To know this mighty being as far as he may be known is the noblest aim of our human understanding. To love him, the most worthy exercise of our affection, and to serve him, the most honorable and delightful purpose to which we can devote our time and our talents." Tonight I want you to open your Bible with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. And I want to look at really just one verse of Scripture written for us, recorded for us, which gives an admonition from this wonderful prophet, one of the greatest prophets of old. The quote that I just shared with you reminds us that if we knew the Lord as we ought, we would truly love him above all. And if we loved him above all, that would be evidenced and seen in our service for him and others. Again, I've titled tonight's message, "In the Service of the King." 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. Samuel writes and says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all of your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you." Pray with me, please. Father, we ask and pray your blessing upon our time this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to lift our voice in praise, for the joy that we have in serving you, Lord, even to at times to sing when we're prompted to, because you are worthy of that from us. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity now to come and study your word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us and teach us from it tonight. We'll thank you for it. We commit this time to you this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin tonight, I want to set the stage for this verse. And as we do so, I want to share with you the scenario that saddened the heart of God. As we come to 1 Samuel chapter 12, it's important that we understand what's taking place right now in the history of the nation of Israel. You understand that Samuel is one of the greatest prophets within the Old Testament. He is also the last judge of the nation of Israel. Back in early April, we considered Samuel in his childhood. And we considered the challenge of having a sensitive heart towards God. Samuel has now grown from that young child who was sensitive in serving God and is now a prophet in the nation of Israel. His ministry as a prophet was during some of the saddest years of Israel's history, the period of the judges, a period that was characterized by a falling away from God. a failing of the people to live righteously and in true holiness. The people of God would follow after idols. Israel would fall into that sin, and God would lead them into times of chastisement and take them into captivity, because he had promised them that if they would turn to serve other idols, he would do just that. And so they would fall away from God, and God would chasten them. Israel finally, after some time of captivity, would open their eyes and behold and understand that it was time for them to turn again to the Lord. So they would repent of their sin and seek the Lord. God then graciously would deliver them through a judge. As long as that judge ruled over them, they walked with God. But the moment that judge passed from the scene, they would begin to fall away again and follow after idols. A sad time. A time where the Bible says that every man did that which was right in their own eyes. I'm reminded that this time of the judges, this time of great weakness in the nation of Israel, this time of great sadness, followed a time of victory. For Judges follows Joshua. Joshua is a book all about victory. It was the conquering of the land. It was the dividing of the land. The enemies were destroyed. In fact, Joshua would then come at the end of his life and the end of his ministry and the end of his rule over the people. And he would bring the people together before they all departed and went to their own homes. Now that the land had been conquered, the land had been divided, he would bring the people together and he would give to them this charge. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me, my house will serve the Lord. But you must choose. As you go to your homes, as you begin to go back into life, choose who you will serve. As we come to 1 Samuel chapter 12, we find who Israel chooses to serve. Joshua challenged the people well, but they never followed the challenge. It's 1 Samuel chapter 12, the sad scenario now unfolds because Israel desires of God a king. They all these years have been under what we call a theocracy, ruled by God himself. From the time that they left Egypt, the Bible says that they were led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He led them every step of the way. He had promised to be their God and they would be his people. They were under a theocracy. Israel now says, we want a king like every other nation. No longer wanting to live under the rule and reign of God. Their foolishness and their sin had caused them to suffer affliction. But they believed that their solution rested in a man and not in God. So they sought a king. So as you come to 1 Samuel chapter 12, we find Israel desiring of them that there would be a king made to rule over them. Matthew Henry, in his commentary on this passage, says that they sought salvation more from the arm of flesh than from the arm of God or from the power of prayer. They thought that they would be protected amongst the nations if a king ruled over them. They sought a prince, and in doing so, they rejected the person of God. They rejected the prophet of God, and they rejected prayer. It's amazing to think of that, as Israel as a nation had known so much blessing from God. Yet they desired to serve another instead of serving God. Think about that just for a moment with me. It was God who brought them up out of the land of Egypt. It was God who delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh by the Red Sea. It was God who gave them victory over their enemies when they sought to destroy them in the wilderness. It was God who provided water for them. It was God who met their daily needs with manna and even gave them quail. It was God who allowed that their shoes not wear out, but they be provided for. It was God who helped them cross the Jordan River. It was God who gave them victory over Jericho and over all the nations and all the cities. It was God that divided for them a city. You look back and you study their history from the moment that they left Israel until this time, and you're going to find the hand of God in every way. Yet they chose to serve another. That's a sad scenario. That's a sad reality. And yet, folks, there's one just like that today. Who on this earth today has received more blessings at the hand of God than this generation? You and I have been saved by grace. Yet God for many does not satisfy. He does not meet our every need. We have forsaken the simplicity that is found in Christ to go after the confusion and chaos found in our world. We value the things of the world more than we value the things of God. We spend our days, our energies, our efforts laying up for ourselves treasures on this earth, where moth and rust corrupts them, where thieves are able to break through and steal. They disintegrate and they vanish away, when we ought to be laying up treasure in heaven. We think the answers are in the arm of flesh and men, so we follow men instead of following God. We find our hope in people. We think they will be our comfort and our strength. They'll be our shield and our refuge, a help in a time of storm. If you've been with us in our studies as of late, you realize that those titles all belong to our God. Only He is able to satisfy. Jeremiah wrote of the same problem to the people of Israel years later when he said, "You have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and you've hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water." Jesus Christ is the fountain of living water in whom we can find refreshment. If we drink, we will never thirst again. Our soul is satisfied. Yet how many times do we go through our days, our weeks, our hours without ever once seeking Him, coming to Him? He alone is the one who is able to deliver and to help. Israel's in a sad scenario. They have come to Samuel, who has been their prophet, who has loved them, who has cared for them, who has given them God's word. And they say, "We don't want to be ruled by God. Give us a king." And God's heart is saddened. Israel fails miserably of God. They are forsaking the springs of living water for stale, stagnant waters that would never satisfy. Samuel now begins to seek to show them the error of their way. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, I want you to begin with me, if you would, in verse 16. I want to see Samuel's charge that honors God. Verse 16 says, "Now therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not the wheat harvest today? I will call on the Lord, and He shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great. which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Look at verse 19. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not. Ye have done all of this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all of your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both you and your king. Samuel now begins to show them the right way and give them the charge that would honor their God. We find that Samuel comes and says that God will show them a miracle, and through this miracle would show God's great displeasure in them. Samuel said, I'm going to pray and ask for a storm to come. So how is that a miracle? The miracle is the storm. Because Samuel tells us it's the time of the wheat harvest, June or July. A time in Israel when it does not rain. The storm brought great fear upon the people. And I want you to notice again, if you would, verse 19. And the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God. Don't you find that interesting? Now they want God. Now they want Samuel. Why didn't they seek help in the king that they longed for? They wanted the prince, but now they want the Lord. They sought the prophet, and they wanted his prayer. Samuel promised that he would do more than but pray for them. Go with me, if you would, now to verse 23. Samuel says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. You've asked me to pray, and certainly I will. But I'm going to do more. Samuel's a prophet, burdened to give them the truth of God's word. So he says, I will teach you the good and the right way. Samuel says, let me give to you a charge. And folks, this charge honors the Lord. If Israel wanted the favor of the Lord in the monarchy as they had in the theocracy, then there was going to be a need for them to follow two very simple thoughts. And I think Samuel sums up the condition of life for you and for me in those two basic thoughts. See, folks, Christianity is not all that difficult. Living for God isn't all that hard. I think God makes it pretty simple. I think he has to make it simple because he knows we are pretty simple. You say, why do you think God thinks we're simple? He keeps referring to us as sheep. And all we like sheep go astray. He knows our frame. He knows we're weak, but we're but dust. So he makes it rather simple for us so that anyone could understand. What is it that God wants us to do? Well, here's the first step. Samuel says, only fear the Lord. God would have you and I live our lives in the fear of the Lord. If you and I want the blessings of God upon our lives, our families, our church, then you and I must continuously live in the fear of the Lord. What's it mean to fear God? Two things I want to remind you of. Number one, the fear of the Lord means putting God in His rightful place. See, when I fear the Lord, I understand who He is. He is Lord. He is God. He is sovereign. He is the one who rules and reigns. He is the one who is all-powerful, who can do all things, who has the right to enact His will upon us. He is Lord. And He needs to be in the place of lordship. He needs to be sovereign. Jesus Christ deserves the preeminence in your life and in mine. My life is not mine to control. It's to be given to God. It's His. He has the right to do with me according to His good pleasure. I serve at the pleasure of the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Where He bids me, we will go. What He asks me to do, we will do joyfully with a full heart. I won't question Him and ask Him why. Why? Because I fear the Lord. Samuel says it's time for you as a people. Fear the Lord. Put God in His rightful place. But secondly, the fear of the Lord involves passionately pursuing after Him. He is God. We are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all the things are added unto us as God deems fit. We are to pursue passionately Him. My favorite definition for the fear of the Lord is a wholesome dread of displeasing God. The fear that I have is not what God will do to me. The fear that we should have is how I can hurt the heart of my God who loved me so much and gave Himself for me. See, the greatest fear upon your life and my life is that we would get to the end of the road, and when we stand before God and give an account of our stewardship as we're studying in Sunday school, God would say, "You have not been a faithful steward. I've entrusted so much to you, and yet you wasted all that I gave." What we should want to hear is, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I think most of us, having grown up within the church or been in the church for a long period of time, somehow think that years of Christianity equals faithful stewardship. We think because I've been a Christian so long, God will say, "Well done." Because somehow, somewhere out there, in the scales of heaven, my good outweighs my bad. We know that's not true for salvation, but somehow in the end, we think that's what's going to happen. Folks, if you understand stewardship, you understand that everything that God puts into your trust, He wants you to use wisely for Him. And He's going to hold you to account. We are to desire not to want to displease Him. Israel was no longer willing to allow the Lord to be their king. They wanted a man to reign over them. But Samuel reminds them that God deserves to be feared. And that means no matter who reigns over us, He still deserves His rightful place. And they as a people needed to passionately pursue their God. Folks, I'll be honest with you, in my personal opinion, I think there was a day coming where God was going to choose a king. I think it always was going to be David, a man after His own heart. I think He understood that, and I think you see God choosing this shepherd boy to lead His people. There would be a royal line through which the Messiah would come. But it was never supposed to be Saul. But the people decided that they didn't want to follow God. Samuel says, you must fear the Lord in all that you do. But there's a second part to his charge. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all of your heart. We are to fear the Lord, and here's the simplicity, we are to serve him. Service naturally follows fear, because you and I will serve whom we fear, whom we respect and honor. This is the same challenge, folks, that Joshua gave to the people of Israel in Joshua 24. Choose you this day whom you will serve. We are to serve the Lord. And we are to serve him in truth and with all of our heart. The idea of those two phrases is simply this: serve him in sincerity. Serve the Lord with true sincerity. What we say we will do is backed by the integrity of our life's actions. I serve him in truth. See, when I know God, I love him. By the way, you cannot get to know God and not love him. When you get to know God for who he is, you will love him. And when you love him, your heart will be, I want to serve him. And it is the noblest aim to which we can give our life. But folks, service is not just simply something that we speak about or talk about in the right context with the right people. It's not part of the game that we play called Christianity. It's to be our life. If I say I will serve him, then the integrity of my life means I will follow him. We sing songs like, where he leads me, I will follow. We sing it without really thinking. Let me ask you a question. If the Lord led you away, would you follow? Well, God's not going to do that. Really? You know that? I know men that were businessmen in their mid-40s. And God said, it's time for you to change your career and follow me and serve me and go plant a church. Lord, I have no training. He said, good, go get it. I have no experience. We'll provide that too. Judy knows who I'm speaking of. Mid-40s. Sold his home. Sold his business. God said, go. Abraham was 75 years when God said, get up from your home and from your kindred and follow me to a land that I will show you. Are we sincere, truly, that we will do what God tells us to do? Samuel says we are to serve the Lord with sincerity. Our life's integrity backs the things that we say. We don't just talk the talk, but we walk the walk. Our sincerity also requires that we do it with all of our heart. Not half-hearted. There are some who are perfected half-hearted service. Folks, God is not pleased with half of our effort. Again, I think sometimes we've convinced ourselves God will be happy with whatever I give him. He doesn't need that much from me. I don't really need to be completely faithful, just as long as I'm partially faithful. I go back to, in Israel's day, God asked for a sacrifice. And there is no such thing as half a sacrifice. It's all or nothing. You couldn't keep half the lamb and continue to produce wool with it. It's dead, it's gone, it's over. God requires all. Not half-hearted. We give our life with no reserve. Willing to spend and be spent for God and for His glory. We serve to please Him heartily as unto the Lord. Why? We've looked at a sad scenario. We looked at Samuel's charge that would honor God, that simply tells us, fear Him and serve Him. But the verse tells us the simple reason why we serve and why we fear. Look with me, please, at the end. After the colon, it simply says, "For consider how great things He hath done for you." I want you to let that sink in for a moment. Samuel's charge is, fear the Lord. Serve Him with all of your heart. Why? Israel, consider the great things He's done for you. Christian, the charge is simple. Fear the Lord. Serve Him with all of your heart. Because God has done great things for you. I want you to listen to the words again of Matthew Henry. He says, if we consider what great things the Lord has done for us, especially in the great work of redemption, we can never want motive, encouragement, nor assistance in serving Him. If we consider the great things He has done, and if all you consider is in your redemption, there is enough motivation, there is enough encouragement, and enough assistance for you the rest of your life to serve Him with all of your heart and give your life a living sacrifice unto God. And I'm only talking about redemption. How much more great things has He done for you? You have a family. God has provided for your every need materially. Most of us have our health. We've seen God do great and wonderful things within our lives and answers to prayer. We have a church. We have a place to come that we can grow in grace, be grounded in the truth, and from it go out in love. We have fellowship and friendship within the body of Christ. We have a hope eternal. Want to name some more? We could probably take the night and fill the rest of the evening if we would really think about it, of all the great things that God has done for you. Matter of fact, we sang this morning a song about the wonderful love of God. And it reminds us, if the ocean were an inkwell, and heaven was our parchment, and you stretched the sky from east to west, which, by the way, speaks of an infinity of space, never ending, the world could not contain the whole of the scroll of the wonderful love of our God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? There's your motivation for fearing God and serving Him. Period. I don't have to prove anything else to you. God doesn't have to bring anything else to you. That verse is enough for you to chew on probably the rest of your life. There's no other argument. no other plea. My faith found its resting place. It's in Jesus Christ alone. Samuel said, "Fear the Lord and serve Him." Because I want you to consider what great things He's done for you. Beloved, we live in a day and age where sadly many are people choosing, just like Israel, "I don't want God to rule over me. It's just too much. There's rules, there's regulations, there's thou shalt and thou shalt nots." Do you realize it's all rolled up into two simple words: fear and serve. That's how easy it is. It goes back to my college days as I would listen to roommates and guys on the hall begin to complain about the length of the rule book at our university. "Man, it's so long! What's wrong with these people?" After my sophomore year, I begin to say to folks, "Can I ask you a question? Have you even read it yet?" "No, I can't believe they make us read the whole thing." I said, "You realize," I'm speaking to guys, I said, "You realize that 75% of that does not apply to you?" "What do you mean?" I said, "It's written to the females. You're not a female. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about dresses and skirts and nylons and all that." I said, "And if you do, we have a problem. 75% of it doesn't apply to you." "What about the other 25%? I said, "That doesn't apply to you either, unless you're here to break all the rules anyway. See, if you're here to serve the Lord and love the Lord and learn and grow and get an education, all that stuff's going to go out of the way, because the reality is, if I'm pleasing God, I'm never going to break a rule within the rule book." I said, "There's nothing for you to worry about." Sometimes people come to the Word of God and they say, "It's just too much." Well, let's make it simple for you. Fear God and serve Him. That's all you have to keep in mind. Solomon made it just that simple as well. As we close, turn over to Ecclesiastes, please. The book of Ecclesiastes, the final chapter, the final two verses. Solomon has gone through life. He has tried everything that this world had to offer. Bring on pleasure. Bring on fun. Bring on money. Bring it. He says, "In the end, I found everything is empty and it's vain." So here's his final words. Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Verse 13. "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Know what that is? Fear God and serve Him. Because one day you're going to stand before Him. Beloved, you and I have been given a wonderful opportunity, wonderful privilege. We get to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When people ask you, "What's your life about?" you're able to tell them simply this: "I serve at the pleasure of the greatest King on earth. I serve Jesus Christ. Where He bids me, I will go. What He tells me to do, I will do. What He asks me to say, I will say. My life is His to control in every way. There's nothing He could ask me that's too great. There's nothing that He could ask me that's just too small. I love my job because I serve the King of Kings and Lord of all." Folks, that's the life God has blessed you with. A life in the service of the King. Pray with me as we close.